I'm Jason Lopez. This is PodTech.net. TIE, which stands for the Indus Entrepreneurs, started quite by accident in 1992 in Silicon Valley. Seems an Indian government official was due to meet with a group of entrepreneurs with Indian roots. The plane was late, and the group that waited began to make connections, and that network became the basis for TIE. In 1993, they held their first conference called TIECON, and since that time, the organization and its conference have looked beyond the idea of Indian entrepreneurs getting together. There are chapters all over the U.S. and around the world. I had a chance to sit down with Aurangzeb Khan, who will be speaking at the conference. He heads up market development at Cadence Design Systems in San Jose. I talked to him about TIE's reach beyond Silicon Valley and how that started.
And we started by a group of folks who came from India and built new companies and contributed to existing companies here and did a great job, made a very successful career for themselves, and then decided to try and give back and try and help other folks who hadn't worked out how to build new companies and use the incredible resources available here to benefit the industry and actually sort of the world.
What does that concept mean, give back? I sense that that actually has a real meaning for
I think it does. You. I think, you know, many of the folks that you'll interact with if you visit TAI and deal with them have a very interesting blend of sort of hard-nosed practical business skill and a certain idealism towards using technology to do good and help create, better things and a better opportunity for more people. The Valley gave us a very unique opportunity. It allowed us to use our sort of intellectual capital and professional capital, combine that with real financial capital, and create value. And Cadence, of course, has been intrinsic. If you're in design, it's something you use to do design. It's sort of ubiquitous to the kinds of things we do. So it's been very well woven into that space. But many of the folks, if you sort of trace back TIE's and how it got started and the people who've contributed to it, have had a career of fairly hardcore technical training or education, and then a technical career followed by something along the lines of a general management or a business career, and then either contributions in a big company or a new company, taking it public and creating wealth and, of course, creating opportunity for a lot of people along the way. So, yes, there is a certain sort of a certain amount of idealism. And some of the folks, Vinod Khosla, for example, are very active in sort of social related topics and how do you help at societal level, which is, I guess, the next stage when you've built a very successful career as a technologist and a generalist.
I wonder if you could chart the history, a short history, so to speak, of what happened to a lot of students from India and Pakistan
right.
and Iran and other places who came here in the 70s to study at American University.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I came in the mid-70s. What drew us to the Bay Area really initially was the quality of schools, the great schools that were available that are well-known around the world, and there's many such great schools in California and really indeed across the U.S. If you look at electronics, which was my passion, and you wanted to do electronics at sort of the best place in the world, it was right here. There was nowhere else you could do the class of engineering you could do here. I had a chance coming out of school to work with folks who had invented certain kinds of circuits. And, you know, that's very exciting to a new person entering a profession. I think that happened to a lot of people. Interestingly, though, we saw a wave starting in the early 90s and then on through the early 2000s where many of the folks have actually gone back and contributed, India being a hugely successful example where folks have gone back and contributed to the nascent industry in their country, but also Taiwan and also China. You see many of the companies that are founded there built from experience gained here and then taken forward to develop new industries and economies there.
But the Silicon Valley is still sort of the center of a lot of high tech
yes.
for many people who come from other countries and study in the U.S., and whether they go back or not, this seems to be sort of the nerve center of a lot of ideas and innovation.
A couple of things that are very neat are happening worldwide right now. One is the notion of the world becoming flat, that you can obliterate distance by having data and communications make it easy to work around the world and around the globe. The other is the culture of the Valley is really very powerful in many ways. It's a diverse culture. it welcomes different points of view and different perspectives, different backgrounds, and it's not closed in any sense. It's actually a very fertile place to try out and experiment with new ideas. The other is, it's actually an amazing place to test new ideas out. So if I have an idea relating to how to sell a product or design a product or manufacture it or who would be interested in buying it, what kind of services would make sense, literally within sort of a day's time, you can find the person who's closest to that topic, who has the most current to that topic and knowledge to that topic, and sit down with them and share and discuss your ideas. So there's a very open atmosphere of trying out new things and exploring new things, and I think that's actually very powerful. I don't know of any other place in the world where you have people from so many different backgrounds and points of view coming together and collaborating to create value.
I wonder if you could just speak to that, just kind of paint a picture of how to think about what's happening globally right now. Because you mentioned the world is flat.
Yeah.
I wonder if you have some other ideas.
Well, sure. You know, if you look at a decade ago, typically when you started a new company, for example, you would start it in one geography, and if it grew and as it grew and it became successful, you'd reach out and build branches in other places. What we see today many times is that companies right at the outset, on day one, they go to Sandhill Road, they've got an idea proven, they get a term sheet, raise financing, and it starts here and, let's say, in India, or here and China, or here and some other geography where they have a linkage, where they can access great talent, where they can be more capital efficient. And so, indeed, entrepreneurship really right now from the outset is global. And the vision for the products and services they sell is global. So it's no longer about doing products in India which are solely serving the North American market. There are products being done that serve European markets and Asian markets. And increasingly, I think this will be a trend for electronics design innovation, that it'll happen globally, it'll happen concurrently. You know, TIES was formed by a group of folks who had a vision initially to start with of developing technology opportunities for folks in India, but as many more of us joined from different geographies, that vision expanded to encompass the globe. And it not only covers the kinds of classical high technology products, but also things like pharmaceuticals. There are folks dealing with movie making, so it's become pretty far flung now, and it's growing in a very nice and organic way by really bringing in the energy of a lot of people who want to contribute.
The redefining of boundaries was something that some people were looking forward to, because political boundaries have a lot of arbitrariness to them. Who would have thought that it would have been high tech and the trailblazers on this would have come from Southern Asia? Because now we start to see other people around the world seeing this and wanting to join in, wanting to have the same opportunities for them, whether they're in Brazil, or I've heard about chip making in Mexico, or you know, all around the globe. Suddenly there's this idea that it doesn't matter where you are. And that idea, again, the world is flat, although sometimes I think it gets overquoted. But that idea, though, is very, very powerful, and it's very profound. I mean, we're seeing a change right now reflected in Ticon.
Yeah, exactly, in the makeup of the organization. And we see that reflected in business. You know, if you look at our own business and what we do as Cadence, our role has been to enable global electronics design innovation. And what that means is we have to be able to appear seamless to folks here and in Bangalore or Hyderabad or Delhi or you know, where I grew up, in Lahore or in Beijing or Shanghai, any number of places, not to leave out, of course, all of the European and Japanese centers of excellent design. And that, I don't see that going away. I mean, I just really think that's a pervasive change in how we do products. In high technology particularly, the products are being now driven by consumer electronics, which means that folks like you and I are driving the definition and consumption of the most advanced technology. And we're very tough as customers. So we want what we want, when we want it. We want it to work right, achieve the right price point. And doing that is increasingly difficult because the geometries we're dealing with in semiconductors are getting closer to sort of atomic levels and levels of variation, dealing with atomic levels of dimensions. And so the process by which we design has become more challenging. Now, figuring out how to do that right is done by bright people here and in so many other places around the world, and whoever finds a way to harness that intellect the most quick way or the most efficient way can get benefit. That's true for Cadence. It's true for all the new companies that are trying to do the same thing. So, you know, Mexico could be a great place. Brazil, we hear about Russia. Many new places for technical talent to contribute to economic success.
And finally, this is a question that is always interesting. And we're not talking about iron. We're not talking about rubber plantations. We're talking about a product that primarily exists in your head. I mean, silicon is pretty cheap to get.
Yes.
So this is about as human as you could reduce it to in terms of where the value lies, and it's in each person.
Right. What
if you could comment on that and what that has to do with Ticon, that kind of idea?
Well, so, you know, what's very exciting about our industry and what's been, for me, a lot of fun is the rate of change. It's an incredible rate of change. And it's, as you said, it's transforming sand into gold in some sense, into something incredibly valuable. And it is abstruse. It is intellect-driven. It's an amazing way of taking science and applying it to create technology that we care about as humans. So look at, you know, wireless devices and the pervasive use of the kinds of delivery data that we want, video and IP, video and audio kinds of information and text. To do that right requires a certain sort of depth of knowledge in the sciences and in engineering, but then also in an excitement and a passion for creating technology, because it's hard, and you have to want to do it well. And the good news is there's just an incredible number of people worldwide. We sponsor university-level design competitions and are just amazed at the level of creativity and ideas that are put forward for building new products. TIES is very active in that. You know, we as a company are very active in that and reaching out and working with universities. Many folks from the academic community are a part of TIES. And that's actually also a strength, particularly of Silicon Valley, that tight connection between academia and industry to try out new ideas. If you look at all of what's happening with the very high-performance wireless, those ideas were developed as communications theory not that long ago, and now they're manifesting themselves as products that make a practical difference. You know, I want to have something in my hand on which we can see real-time video feeds when I want to. It's very interesting. It's a very convenient form factor. And in fact, that's driving a re-architecture of the whole industry. So you see very big companies combining with content providers and application providers and manufacturing companies to build these food chains so that we can get the kind of devices we want at a very cost-efficient point. And they're all sort of inherently global. You know, if you go to Northern Europe, where some of this work gets done, or the Pacific Rim, or some more of it gets done, or Asia, or here, these companies are very intimately linked through the kinds of communication channels that have really just come about in the last decade. So it's as easy for me to reach out and talk to somebody in India as it is across the hall, or in China as it is across the hall. And that makes it that much more practical. My name is Aurangzeb Khan, and I'm responsible for market development at Cadence. I was born and raised in Lahore in Pakistan and came to school here to attend UC Berkeley and then later Stanford. I've been working in the area since that time.